The betting calendar is absolutely loaded right now. Baseball in full swing. NBA, NHL playoffs already underway. If you want to get really spicy, you can even bet the WNBA. Look, I'm not judging. Action's action. The question is, where are you betting? Because that matters just as much as what you're betting. That's why I go to mybookie.ag. And why you should too. New to MyBookie? Use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. If your first bet loses, you get a full refund up to $500 back in free play, plus $25 in casino credit just for showing up. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid. A while back, I went to get a life insurance policy the old-fashioned way. Physical exam, blood work, the whole thing. They turned me down. My numbers were bad. Now that rejection ended up being one of the best things that has happened to me. It kicked the health journey that I am still on. Down 30 pounds and counting. But I realize not everybody's in that situation. Maybe you've just been putting it off. Maybe the process always seemed like too much of a hassle. That's exactly what Ethos fixes. Ethos helps you find life insurance completely online, no medical exam, just a few simple health questions. Get a quote in seconds. Apply in minutes. Same day coverage up to $3 million in protection. And some policies are as low as $30 a month. There's no excuse to keep waiting on this one. Take 10 minutes and get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Take 10 minutes and get covered today with life insurance through Ethos. Free quote at ethos.com/ZABE. ETHOS.com/ZABE. Application times may vary. Rates may vary. This is the ZABE cast. From the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go.
Here we go.
Tuesday, August 4th, 2026. Thank you for downloading. Coming to you plausibly live from the American Inn by Wyndham. Here in Green Bay, Wisconsin, site of Packers training camp, where I will be today with my boy Josh Albrecht from 105.7 FM in Milwaukee and the Wisconsin Sports Radio Network. You know you can hear me for an hour every day with Josh, 8 to 9 a.m. Central Time, 9 to 10 Eastern. Also on the Audacy app, that's A-U-D-A-C-Y app. Look it up, get it. And download it and enjoy. So I'm here at the American Inn, and it's a budget hotel. Okay, you can kind of see by the caliber of my room here. Oh, by the way, this radiator here, this air conditioning unit, this wall unit, here's how budget the hotel is. Or it's technically a motel, because I am looking out my window at my car, my vehicle, right outside the window. Although, wait, no. Hold on. It is not a motel. You know why it's not a motel? There's a lobby. So you go into the hotel, and then the door to your room, if it exits out to the outdoors, congratulations, you're now in a motel. If you are in a place where the door to your room opens to an interior space, a hallway, or a lobby, or an atrium, or something like that. Atrium? Fancy-ass atrium? We ain't got no fancy-ass atrium. Then you are not in a motel. You are in something more like a hotel, an inn, a bodega, a, I don't know what you would call it, but you're in something a bit nicer than a motel. Look, the place is clean. It's got this nice desk that I am broadcasting from. The air conditioning unit does not have a thermostat in which the fan or the AC will come on and then turn off based on, hey, it's getting cooler in the room, time to slow it down on the AC. It just has two settings, high fan, low fan, and temperature. But the temperature only goes in increments of two. So if you want it at 71 degrees, you're out of luck. It has 70 and 72 and 74 and 76 and 68 and 66. Maybe that's a way to save money. I don't know. but it's just what it is. I don't mind hotels. I know that there are people who travel for work and are like, oh, God, I hate hotels. I'm a million points member at Hilton, and I've got the nicest hotel rooms for free. I don't ever want to see one again. I just want to be home. I'm sick of traveling. I get it. I don't travel enough to hate hotels. What I love about hotels, even the humble ones like this, it's a miniature temporary home. It's a miniature temporary home that you don't have to clean. It's a miniature temporary home where nobody is going to be bothering you or asking for things or saying, Dad, can you do this? Or your wife saying, hey, hun, don't forget to take out the trash. It's a little fortress of solitude. And I kind of love that. So let's go ahead and turn off this
radio.
And there you go. All right, now we are quiet and we're good to go to talk about sports. Fun. Sometimes the funniest things to lead the podcast are the ones that I enjoy talking about the most. Jerry Jones made himself available at Cowboys practice because that's what he does. He loves to be, Jerry loves to be available. He talked about the Cowboys, talked about a lot of things. He was asked about the windows at Jerry World. Something is beeping outside. Is that my car? No, it doesn't seem to be my car. Okay, just checking on that. By the way, the Rustero Automotive Group, thank you very much for giving me a wonderful loaner, a Mazda CX-9. Is that what it is? It's a very fancy and, I got to admit, complicated SUV that is part hybrid, part electric, part, you know, gas internal combustion engine. And it has all kinds of bells and whistles and features. And I thought I had turned it off because it was so quiet. It just kind of went into electric mode. And then I went out after at my friend's house, Jason's house, 3 hours later and the lights are on and it seems to be running. And I'm like, did I leave this thing running? Apparently I did. Running on battery, running on low power. I don't know. Maybe the engine was cycling up. Who knows? Anyhow, I digress. Back to Jerry. Jerry was asked about the windows at Jerry World, which in the fall, usually in the month of November, the angle of the sun in Dallas, Texas, is such that for afternoon games, late afternoon games, 4 o'clock window games, the sun starts pouring through the windows on the western edge of Jerry World so that the light is so bright it blinds players. It looks like the eye of Sauron from Lord of the Rings. Nerd! I get it. People have said for years, this is so not ideal. Why don't you put up curtains? And Jerry had one excuse after another for why that couldn't be done, why that shouldn't be done. Da, 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 it's not a big deal. Then the World Cup comes. And the World Cup demands they put up curtains. So Jerry says, well, I'm going to go to Blinds to Go. I'll have those by Wednesday. And so now, obviously, people are asking, well, are you going to do that for football games? And Jerry said, I'll think about it. Or if not curtains, I'll think about tinting the windows. I, for one, don't want to see them tint nor curtain the windows for NFL games for this simple reason. I love a good wild card being thrown into the mix. It depends. Is your team going that direction in the third quarter or not? Do you have that in mind when you take the coin flip? Have you checked the weather forecast to see if it's going to be sunny out by the time you're playing the game on that particular Sunday? There is also the expense factor of it. It only happens maybe two or three games a year. The rest of them are played at night or at times that don't have the sun affect the game. The other reason I love it is, have you seen the photos, the glorious photos that come from when the sun is beaming in just right? It creates a heaven-like effect with light and shadows and the gleam off the shiny helmets. There's a gleam, men! There's a gleam!
It's too aesthetically perfect. Curtains? Eh. Come on. Let's live a little. Let's accept the fact that maybe you're going to have to run the ball more into the eye of Sauron when it's present for a brief moment in time, for about 30 minutes a game. If that, 30 minutes. Or throw wide. Throw screen passes to the flat. You don't have to throw it right into the sun, for God's sakes. But a lot of people are going to think this take is idiotic and that it's a simple fix that should be fixed, that here is a imperfection that affects the overall playability of a National Football League game, and therefore, if we can fix it, we should fix it. I, for one, say, behold the eye of Sauron, and may she shine bright forever. Baseball is boring, except when it gets interesting. For example, in Cleveland, we had benches clearing in a pouring rainstorm with a perfect game going, and Diamondback player Tim Tawa trying to break up the no-hitter perfect game with a bunt. Gavin Williams was the pitcher. Tawa tries to bunt, does not, ends up getting on base anyway. Rain is coming down. Pitches are flying left and right. Umpires finally stop the game, probably too late. Tarp crew comes out. Tarp's being rolled around. The tarp crew is almost getting eaten by the tarp because it's pouring rain. Next thing you know, there's a bench-clearing brawl in which, well, not brawl, but there's a bench-clearing hubbub, let's say, between the two teams. Because remember, it is unsporting to try to bunt to break up a no-hitter or a perfect game. Although it was only the sixth inning, so maybe Tawa was just trying to sort of disrupt the pitcher's rhythm. It's kind of such a dumb, unwritten rule, like you can't do that. I understand if it's the ninth inning, but bunts can be played and fielded, and they can be easy outs. Bunting is not an automatic, oh, you're going to get to first. Otherwise, everyone would do it all the time. So it's kind of a silly rule, but it's pretty funny when a bunt coincides with a rainstorm with dumb umpires who don't know when to stop the game, and then the tarp crew coming out to make it even more crazy. File this one under Read the Room, Janice! Deshaun Watson battling for that QB1 job in Cleveland with Shedeur Sanders was asked by the media about signing a new contract with the Browns when the current one expires after this season. He should have just said, well, look, I can't worry about that now. I'm just worried about this season, being able to help the team, and being able to have a successful year. Like, keep it as basic and as simple as you can. Instead, Watson said, sure, I'd love to stay here. My wife and I have got a house on the east side. We love Cleveland. Read the room, Janice! No, you're not fucking getting another cent from the Cleveland Browns. The single worst free agent signing in the history of professional sports. Any sport, any league, any team, any era, any country, anywhere. Deshaun Watson, number one worst free agent signing of all time. Ed Helms, who played the Nard Dog in The Office, went on a podcast with Rainn Wilson, a.k.a. Dwight Schrute, and expounded upon one of the greatest lines ever written by show creator Greg Daniels and his writing team. I'm not sure who exactly came up with this line, but at one point in the series, the Nard Dog looks into the camera of the fake documentary crew and says, after Michael Scott has left, he said, I wish there was some way to know you're in the good old days before you've actually left them. That's a profound line right there, and it's true on so many different levels. I tried to spin it into a constant reminder myself of someday this will all end. Because I use that line to my young Padawan, Josh, when he was bitching about something at the old radio station that's now defunct, 97.3 The Game. He was bitching about something, and he wasn't wrong. It,
it was something that was annoying or stupid or shouldn't have been. And I just said to him, I go, look, dude, someday this will all end. And it's not that I was prophetic. It's just that I understand how, you know, life and business and careers and jobs, they do have cycles. Nothing is forever. That kind of wisdom only comes from living long enough. And I'm almost damn 60 years old. I really don't feel it, don't look it, don't think it, but still, it just takes a lot of years to finally come to that realization. But yeah, you know, basically Ed Helms said, look, we were all in the office trying to get a movie career, and he wasn't as present as he could have been in the moment to appreciate what a great show it was. I do wish someone could make a show that is so enduring, so good, you can still watch it. I will, if I hook into a run of The Office on whatever channel they run it on, TBS, TNT, blah, 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 it's hard for me to get off of it. It is such comfort food to me. And I think for a lot of people, because it was just a great show, except for the last couple of seasons. The last couple of seasons got, not very good. Say what you want about Trump, but he apparently won the senior division championship at his golf club in Bedminster, New Jersey. Fired a final score of 70 in the final round. 70. That's 10 under his age of 80. I've seen a couple highlights. I know Trump is a very good golfer by most metrics when it comes to amateur players. I know he is also a fantastic bullshitter of the highest order. And I know that, like many presidents, they take liberties when it comes to golfing and whether or not, oh, don't count that, fluff it up in the rough, give me that putt, etc. I've also seen Trump's putting stroke. Oh, God. Avert thine eyes. But I need to know more about, okay, so even though it's his club and he's the president and he could lean on the pro to go, hey, don't count that, did somebody truly play with him and keep his card? And did he really shoot 10 under his age? If so, that would be remarkable. I saw one highlight on the final hole of him hitting a wedge into the final green. It had great action, two hops, checked up, which I hope when I'm 80, I can hit a nice wedge shot that's crisply struck that goes hop, hop, check, and then stops on a dime. Those documentaries we all love for Netflix and whatnot, like Quarterback, the series, and Drive to Succeed in Formula One. Is that what it is? What is the golf one? Netflix's Full Swing. These documentaries, quote-unquote documentaries, these inside access, oh, they give you good audio and good video, and it's compelling stuff. It's beautifully edited, but not exactly a Drive to Survive. Thank you, not Drive for Success. That's the Formula One one. They're not exactly documentaries because, get this, Pro Football Talk reports that Baker Mayfield had final say over his scenes in Quarterback, the Netflix series about the NFL, which is a reminder, writes Florio, that the subjects in these, quote, documentaries always have the last word on the facts, quote, unquote, that are presented. We mentioned Shedeur Sanders in battle with Deshaun Watson, who cannot read the room right now, but okay. And apparently the Madden 27 rating has come out for Shedeur Sanders. It is not good. Dove Kleeman, a widely followed content house on Twitter for NFL-related stuff, mysterious, 400,000 followers, old Dove Kleeman, D-O-V, I believe that name is Israeli. Dove Kleeman likes to kind of troll at times. He puts disrespectful. Madden 27 only gave Browns QB Shedeur Sanders a 69 overall rating for the upcoming season. I don't know if that's disrespectful or if it's accurate. In 2025, Shedeur was a Pro Bowler. Hey, how about that? Threw for 1,400 yards, 7 touchdowns, and 10 INTs with a 56
.6 completion rate in 7 starts for the Browns. The 69 by Madden is one of the worst grades ever for a presumed starting quarterback in the NFL. Here's something that didn't exist before apps and the internet and legalized wagering on just about anything. Gen Z is now betting actual money on their step counts. Because apparently that's the only thing that gets them off the freaking couch. The Steppa app, STEPPA, lets users wager real money on hitting daily step goals using financial loss to force motivation. Players join a pool with an entry fee, track steps via Apple Health, and split the cash of anyone who fails. The rule is to hit your daily target like 10,000 steps or get completely eliminated. If you miss a single day, you lose your entry fee. Survivors who finish split the total pot of the losers. Early birds, a feature where only steps logged between 5 a.m. and 7 a.m. count toward the goal, is another feature of the app. I know a guy that would be aces and would clean up at this. His name is Scott Dolphin, who I have dubbed the Step King of Southeast Wisconsin. Mr. 10,000 steps a day, easy. Actually, more like 15,000 steps a day for Dolph. Man, things you had no idea about. When it comes to, I'm not qualified scientifically to know whether or not a man or a biological man who's transitioned to a woman would have an advantage in an athletic contest of a various sport against biological women. Well, here's this to consider. The fastest female on earth, Florence Griffith Joyner, FloJo, set the world record in the 100 meter in 1988. It was 10.49 seconds. That record has stood, still stands, 10.49, fastest ever, FloJo, 1988. Count the years. That'd be 12 plus 26, 38 years. In 2026, there are over 1,000 high school boys that beat this record. Think about that. 1,000 high school boys beat the record of the fastest woman on earth. If just one of those boys, a meager 0.1%, decided to compete as a woman in track and field, he would crush the women's world record in an instant. And this is not a high school record or a college record. This is an Olympic and professional world record. Just something to think about. Kurt Benkert has said it when it comes to these stupid Save Our Plays paddles that the Packers are handing out at training camp to fans to say, hey, look, don't film our plays and post it to social media. These are crucial plays. We don't want to give anyone an advantage knowing what we're running here. Kurt Benkert, former third-string QB behind Aaron Rodgers and who else was he behind for a couple of years? Jordan Love, yeah. Rodgers, Love, Benkert. Benkert does good film study. You can follow him on Twitter at Kurt Benkert with a K. He has not responded to my overtures to have him on this podcast, so maybe he hates me. I don't know. I'm going to not take it personally. He's probably busy. Benkert says the whole don't record training camp thing is a load of shit. Coaches wait until roster cutdowns to actually run their stuff. Everything up until cuts is generic. Because 40-plus guys per team then shuffle around the league. Yeah. Yeah, don't film our plays. Oh, yeah? But what about, you know, Jontavious Johnson, your fifth-string wide receiver who you're going to cut and he's going to go play for the Ravens? Isn't he going to have all your real plays and more? Maybe even a memory of the playbook? Although, the playbooks are not digital. They're on iPads, so they're kind of harder to grab and take with you like they once were. But either way, he says, just let this training camp footage ride. It's good for the game. It's good for content creators. It's good for those who need to, you know, push out the content. But I don't know if it's necessarily good for the game. Here's a scenario for you. It's a Tuesday night. There's a game on. Maybe it's good, maybe not. Who knows? Could go sideways by the fourth inning. But if you're still parked on the couch, what are you going to do? MyBookie.ag Casino.
That's what you do. Slots, blackjack, roulette, right there on your phone. And their live dealer tables are genuinely impressive. A real person dealing cards on a live feed. Feels a lot more like a casino than clicking a computer game, that's for sure. Use promo code ZABE at mybookie.ag. New players get $25 in casino credit on their first deposit automatically. And if your first sports bet loses, they refund it up to $500 in free play. Mybookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid.
It is time now for the nightcap version of today's ZABEcast. Much of the earlier podcast you just listened to was recorded in the morning. Was. Since then, boy, I've been here, there, and everywhere up here in Green Bay. Went to practice at Nitschke Field here in Green Bay. It was a glorious but warm summer day in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Now, here's the thing. It was, I think, by all accounts, hot. But it was Wisconsin hot. So, in other words, standing there on the sidelines watching the men practice their football, you were kind of hot. But it wasn't sweltering. You were not sweating excessively. The humidity was, I don't want to say non-existent, but it was very low. There were blue skies. I know this because being a guy who grew up in the DMV and has endured mid-Atlantic summers for my whole life with the gray sort of overcast and the swampy, humid awfulness of August, this was not that. It was a crackling, warm Wisconsin day. And it was glorious because there was blue skies. You know that the humidity is not bad when there is blue skies to be had. And the colors popped. And there was even a gleam. There's a gleam, men! As Marty Schottenheimer once said. There's a gleam. There was a gleam off the helmets, at least of the guys not wearing the stupid Guardian caps, which, by the way, they've gotten a new Guardian cap in the NFL. It's not as stupid looking as the other Guardian caps. Of course, they don't hit in training camp. So there's really no point in wearing the Guardian caps, but don't get me started on that. The one big takeaway I had from Packer training camp was not only was it a beautiful day to stand there and watch these guys, you know, go through their workouts and the plays and the scrimmages and all the controlled execution of what is going to theoretically be tackle football, professional style, later on this season, is just to be that close to absolute football specimens of that size and strength and speed was something else. I watched Tucker Kraft, who is the not-so-secret sauce of this Packers offense. They need him to come back fully after his blown-out knee and to be every bit the tight end that he was before. A game-wrecking, sure-handed, break-tackles, George Kittle clone. Oh, they need him to be that guy. And they're hoping he will. He is targeting a week one return, but he was working off to the side. And he was just doing one-on-one reps with the blocking sled. Now, the blocking sled I've always kind of mocked. Like, what does this really replicate, you know, in the real world of football? Just a big iron sled with a big padded cardboard cutout of a football man that you're then running into at full steam. But you got to do something, right? You got to give them something to simulate hitting. Let me tell you, standing no more than 10 feet away from Tucker Kraft with a rebuilt ACL, hitting that blocking sled as part of his rehabilitation to get back to the field in week one. The sound of it, the force with which he hit that sled made you as a regular civilian really appreciate the violence and the power and the awesomeness of the National Football League. There's a reason why the NFL is a $25 billion annual enterprise and growing. It's because
It is a spectacle unlike anything you've ever seen. I watched also up close Matthew Golden, who will hopefully get targeted this year by the Packers offense. It was criminal that he got his so few looks as a first-round pick. Finally, they draft a wide receiver in the first round, and they freeze him out on their own for no reason. He was getting open, by the way. Matthew Golden out of Texas is a burner. And on a play that they ran that he caught a pass and broke open into the clear, he ran by us on the sideline at a speed and a burst and a fluidity that was breathtaking. I am thankful I get to stand so close at least once a year at training camp just to watch these guys do what they do. It reminds you that these are athletic freaks, all of them. And to get to the NFL and to stick with a roster, to be on a 53-man roster is one of the hardest things ever. And those that can get to the league, stay on a team, stay year after year, and have a career of more than 5 minutes, incredible stuff. So I was good at training camp, went, got lunch, took a big-ass nap. I thought about putting this podcast to bed before the nap, but then I woke up from the nap, and I saw Aaron Charles Rogers and his comments on McAfee. Oh, boy. Well, as somebody put it, this has big last day of work energy attached to it. Let's run through the sound bites. Here's the first one. This was Aaron Rodgers talking about pleading the fifth as to whether or not he was going to enjoy this season more in a clear way to start in on Anthony Fauci and the COVID vaccine and more issues.
A couple times today, because you've been very open about coming back for this year, last rodeo, and you talked about your wife saying, hey, have another year. Mike McCarthy being here, obviously a big deal. Can you tell us about the mindset of coming into your last season? Like, that's a real thing, it feels like, because is everything better? Is everything funner? Is everything more awesome? Like, how do you kind of view this year versus maybe the years of the past?
I'm going to plead the fifth.
Okay.
Okay.
Like, gotta love that guy.
Like that absolute coward, Tony Fauci. Yeah. Absolute coward.
Yeah. Hey, it's back, baby.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, 111
You
times.
Got a pardon and you're in front of, and you pleaded over 100 times
yeah.
at the White House? What are you scared of, Tony?
Yeah.
I thought you were the science.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought you were, I am science. And you get up there and you can't answer a question?
Yeah.
What are we doing? Baby. And how much time did the network spend on that? How much time did they spend on my responses every week, on my vaccination status, on Taylor and Travis's wedding? Did they do even a minute? Did they do even a minute on Tony Fauci?
No, I don't think I've heard anything.
No, I bet they didn't.
But on that note.
And there was another scandal this offseason, too, involving a voter for MVP, for Coach of the Year. How much time did your network spend? Where's your camp? Did your network spend on
our
that?
Network?
I wish I could go back to Fauci.
This is awesome.
Okay. Go back to Fauci?
Yeah.
Go back to the coward Tony Fauci in science.
Hold on now.
Who's spending the entire time writing in his diary about how fun it is to be famous? You got to be kidding me.
Okay, so on that note.
What are you going to say about me now?
Debate him.
What are you going to say about me now?
No, I got no debate here. You had a 500.
No, seriously, what are they going to say about me now? Now you can't talk about the COVID stuff because obviously it was made, you know, in a lab in China. That's like not even questionable anymore. Tony Fauci is an absolute criminal. I'm on good terms with my family. I'm on good terms with my family. What are you going to say now? Yeah, what are you going to say now?
I want to let you know. It's been a fun ride for you, I would assume, over the last couple.
It's been a great, great life and a great career. And it's nice to be sitting on this side now, especially after that coward played the fifth over 100 times.
Okay.
I thought you had a pardon there, Tony. Why couldn't you answer one question the entire time?
Okay, we have 4 minutes until the heart out.
Yeah, I got four more minutes. Like, we can keep this shit going. We can keep it going.
Like anything else?
I got at least 4 minutes.
Okay.
As if that wasn't enough, he looped back again to refer to the Diana Rossini Mike Vrabel story and to take a dig once again at ESPN. And he's not wrong, by the way, at how they have absolutely steadfast avoided this story entirely.
But what is the network doing?
Like, you have literally an individual that maybe used to work at ESPN that covers our league at the highest level, and there's a major scandal, and it's just like nobody can fucking talk about it? What are we even doing
personal
here?
Personal lives are personal lives. I feel like you, of all people should know that.
I understand, but if it's affecting certain things, if there's leaks going on, if there's tampering going on, if that person is also an MVP voter and a Coach of the Year voter. Remember when I won MVP in 2021?
Yeah.
And that bum in Chicago?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's real life. Like, how are we allowing these
what
people to have an impact?
Pornhub Arkush is what we call
it. Pornhub Arkush, I remember he's had a name. Okay. So on that note, good for you, man. Hey, actually.
That may be eight.
I told these boys I was bringing it today.
Did you tell Bert that?
And then finally, one more clip. He talked about what he would be doing once this season is over, and he does finally retire. He keeps saying he's going to, you know, be hard to find after he's done playing. I would bet the under on that, oh, by the way. But here was what he said about what he'll be doing once he's done after this year.
I'm not going to be out there doing a podcast, chasing down.
We might. Come on.
Every now and then.
Chasing down weird-ass parties on the East Coast.
Yes.
And wearing white. I'm not going to be doing any.
Yes.
I'm not going to be doing anything.
Yes.
You know, I'm going to be.
You're not going to be at Goofball Fest?
I'm going to be out of the light. So I might as well get a couple in. I don't get to do this show as much as I would like to do, I think, from time to time. So, especially when I get a chance to get after that gutless organization you have to be connected with.
Oh, jeez.
For the government?
I just don't care anymore.
So there you have it, the full, unfiltered Aaron Charles Rogers. In his IDGAF phase, I don't give a fuck. And it was pretty spectacular. I'll be honest. From my standpoint, I'm like, okay, I'm here for it. He's a guy that got a mountain of shit about not being vaccinated, and he has kept the receipts, and now the receipts have come home as winners. It's not, though, as black and white, perhaps, as he phrased it or as he put it, and he opened himself up to people pushing back, which, of course, people did. Everyone flooded the zone on social media. Danny Cannell tweeted, when are all the reporters going to apologize to Rogers about being wrong about the vaccine? That prompted one of my favorite guys, Mike DeCourcy, Sporting News, who I have so much respect for and is such a great American sports writer and a really stand-up, humble guy, to then fire in and fire back repeatedly with a screen cap of some website called Factually that referenced the success of the COVID vaccine in mitigating the damage, hospitalization, and death rate of COVID-19. And DeCourcy was just sending that screenshot out over and over and over again, probably 20 times, to a bunch of different people. And I'm just like, ah, man. Why is it that the guys that I respect so much and like so much have to fall into this trap? This is why on my Twitter page I have the simple phrase, I ain't here to fight the whole internet today. I will tell you where I stand, but I ain't here to fight the whole internet. And it was just a bad look for DeCourcy, instead of engaging or delving into the nuances of Roger's situation in particular, to just send out a screen cap.
Talk to the hand. Look at this.
What Rogers should have said, which is what I wish he would have been a bit more sort of refined, and if he had sharpened his point just a bit on the needle that he was giving. And I'm all for the fact that he was saying, oh yeah, how about now? How are we doing now, everybody? He should have simply said, look, at the time, after doing just a little bit of digging and reading and researching, I understood that I, as an athlete in peak physical condition at my age, was at virtually 0.0 risk of dying from something that was akin to a severe seasonal flu. And as such,
I did not want to introduce into my body the equivalent of a medical wild card, a vaccine that was rushed through Operation Warp Speed, and who knows what it might have done when it interacted with my personal biology. And so I opted not to get it because I knew I did not need it. And by the way, the guy who was at the head of all these efforts has now been exposed as a liar and a fraud and a narcissist. So that's just something I want read into the record. He could have been a bit more precise on that front. Did the vaccine help the cohort over 65 years old to avoid severe hospitalization and or death? Probably yes. I would imagine there are studies that support that. But the way that both Rodgers and Novak Djokovic and Kyrie Irving were completely vilified by, unfortunately, a lot of sheepish sports writers that were just, I can't believe he's doing this, he's so selfish, was bullshit. And I would say it'd be nice if they apologized and said, you know what, in retrospect, you probably made the right choice. You know they're not going to do that. And you know the way Rodgers presented it, they're definitely not going to say that now. I don't know how many more appearances on McAfee Rodgers is going to make this year, but you combine that with the fact that he went after the Rossini thing, which is a whole nother deal. And I thought Rodgers made a good point. He goes, look, because one of the guys for McAfee said, hey, I thought personal lives are personal. That's Rodgers' big thing, right? We still haven't seen a single picture of his alleged wife, Brittany. Nothing. Not a zip zilcho. And they are trying, by the way. The first picture of Rodgers with his wife, Brittany, with an eye, holding hands, walking on a beach, is going to go for big money. This is big game hunting for all the paparazzi for TMZ. So they are trying. Been very hard to get her, though. She must spend a lot of time indoors or in disguise or who knows how. The point that Rodgers made was, well, it's not that it's a personal life situation. This is somebody who covers the league, who has intel on potential trades and or free agents and or strategy and or game day preparation and votes for MVP and coach of the year. That's a big fucking deal when she's sleeping, allegedly, or presumably, with a head coach in the NFL. So, yeah. Anyway, I have a feeling this will not be the last we've heard of Rodgers and Fauci and ESPN and everything else. Buckle up. It's going to be a season of Rodgers is going out and he's burning down everything behind him. Also, he may actually play a couple of preseason games. Said one report from The Athletic, it's been a long time since Rodgers rocked and rolled in the preseason, but this summer will likely be different. McCarthy has asked him to play in Pittsburgh's first two preseason games against the who? Packers and the Jets, as fate would have it. And the quarterback who last saw significant exhibition action 8 years ago is prepared to do so. That'd be dumb. But then again, he's in his it gaff phase. You're talking about, well, preseason games that don't matter. And there's always that chance something goes snap, crackle, or pop. It'd be a dumb way to end your final season, right? Today, Aaron Rodgers was injured in the second quarter of his second preseason game of action on a blindside hit against the New York Jets. Womp, womp, womp. I'm not a believer in this substation bullshit with the Niners, but I gotta say, I'd never really seen the photos of the substation next to both their stadium as well as their practice field next to their stadium. And I'm now saying to myself, okay, first of all, here's the 49er injuries through five practices so far in Santa Clara. Mike Evans, quad.
Mike Evans is old. He's always been injured the last 5 years. Any fantasy player knows this. Deshaun Stribling, hamstring. Ricky Pearsall, knee, out for the year. Christian Kirk, calf. Jordan James, rib. Kalon Black, adductor. Mikhail Kamara, knee. Keon White, adductor. Malik Mustafa, hamstring. It's a lot. And normally I'd be like, eh. But that's a big-ass substation. There's a lot of wires there. Does it really need to be right next to the practice field? It's a weird situation where if another couple seasons come and go and the Niners keep getting hammered by injuries, they're probably going to have to do something. Because whether or not there's scientific provable evidence that links the two, there's going to be enough of a narrative that they just won't be able to ignore it. They'll have to find a place to practice away from the dreaded substation, which, by the way, has its own Twitter account now, because why not? Of course it does. Congrats to U.S. Men's National Team Soccer. They have signed head coach Mauricio Pochettino through 2030. New contract for the guy who took Team USA on a great ride this World Cup. Mazel mazel to Marv Levy. Yes, happy birthday for the former Bills coach, who once said famously in an NFL film soundbite, "Where would you rather be than right here, right now?" Marv Levy is 101 years young. Wow. 101. I had to double fact check that because you know how many things on the internet are actually not correct. All right, that'll be it for me today. I've done enough. I had a wonderful night out. Aaron Nagler of Cheesehead TV is a man and a mensch. He paid for more beers than I thought I would drink. I had at least 5 lineys while bowling. Did not drive, but I had a good number of Linen Kugels while bowling with Josh and Aaron Nagler, and it was a good night. And if I sound a little bit slurry tonight, it's because I've had 5 beers, and it is getting late here in Green Bay. Finally, let's end with what I call elite tweets. These are tweets that are either so funny, so insightful, so interesting that it hurts me thinking I'm not that funny nor insightful, and yet I wish I were. Elite tweet number 1. If I have to pay $7 to rent a 30-year-old movie on Amazon when I already have Prime, then just bring back Blockbuster. I'd rather have a Blockbuster employee silently judge my movie choices than pay extra to watch a film from 1996. That is perfect. Yeah, somebody also tweeted a picture of, remember when Best Buy didn't just have movies on DVD, but they had aisles and aisles of movies? And it hit me. I'm like, I remember those days where you'd browse a whole aisle. You'd be looking in the action section, and you'd be going through them, and you'd be like, oh, yeah, oh, yeah. And then you get around to the comedy would be over here, and then the drama was a different aisle. Damn, those were good times. I miss them. Hot take alert. Elite tweets. Nobody actually likes summer. It's too hot to do anything, and everyone is sweaty and miserable. The only reason we pretend to like it is because during our adolescence, it's the only time any of us felt real freedom without compulsion to spend the majority of waking hours at work or in school. Kinda, but not really. I love summer. I love hot summer nights. I love being hot. As long as I'm doing something I like playing golf, it's good times. Elite tweets. I've reached the age where I only get one main event a day. Doctor's appointment, hair appointment, one stressful work call, that's it. Everything else gets pushed to tomorrow. A one main event a day type of person. Finally, last elite tweet. I don't want to download the app to pay for parking. I don't want to create an account to see a menu. I don't want to provide feedback on a 30-second interaction. I just want to exist in the physical world
without a digital leash. Very well said. Somehow we'll try to escape it, but it's getting harder and harder every day. That's it for today's Abecast. Thank you so much for listening. Please rate and review if you have a second. Helps the algorithmic overlords. Tell a friend. Refer me if you don't mind. Say this is a good one worth listening to. It's full of mirth and humor and sports and life and a bunch of other stuff. Also, you can subscribe to help support me financially. $5 a month is all it is, and you get Fridays with Scott and Solly, the OGs from the Fox Sports Radio days, and you get Monday through Thursday ad-free. And because you're a listener right now, I throw in Total Consciousness on your deathbed, so you will have that going for you as well, which is nice. Thanks for listening. Have a great Tuesday, and we will see you next time. Oh, big old jet and a rhino, 'cause it's here that I got to stay. Goodbye to all my friends. The playoffs are here, people. NBA and NHL both going at the same time. That's the best 2 weeks in the sports calendar, right? And it goes fast. More games, more angles, more ways to be right, and more ways to win. That's the fun. MyBookie.ag has it all. And right now, for new players, use promo code ZABE on your first deposit. And if your first bet doesn't hit, they refund it up to $500 back as free play one-time rollover, plus $25 in casino credit automatically. That's called insurance, my friends. MyBookie.ag, promo code ZABE. Check the site for offer details and to confirm availability in your state. Bet smart, get paid.